For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
We'll be right back. welcome, my friends, to a brand new episode of MSR Cast, episode number 236. I am one of your co-hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
Been a while, sir. Feels like it's been a while, but it's only been like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
A little behind the scenes here. We recorded a couple episodes tonight. Yeah. We just, if you listen to our last episode, our quarantine episode, we hinted that our next episode is going to be all new music, basically. The stuff that we've been jamming recently, and looking at the set list, there's a wide variety of bands here tonight.
Yeah.
Which is what we love.
Yeah.
So what did we start off with?
This was an album that I was looking forward to. And
me too.
I'm glad they went ahead and released it because it was a great distraction when it came out last week or whenever it was, 2 weeks ago. But the new Aeternum album, Al-Qassam.
Yeah.
The song we just heard was The Bringer of Rain.
Such a great fucking album, dude.
Yeah.
The
thing that surprised me the most about this album was the predominance of Queen vocals on it.
There are some.
There are aggressive parts to it, but he sounds so good. He's developed that Queen singing voice so well. And I'm impressed. I don't know if it's my favorite by them yet, because Moon God's still high up there, but
right.
I am enjoying the differences of this album.
And I know some of our fans out there discovered this band because of our love of Aeternum. So
yeah.
And it's a great album. There's a lot of – it was way more heavier than I thought it was going to be, like death metal heavy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's heavier in the heavy parts and then more mellow in the mellow parts, I think.
And Kobe from we talked about in the last episode, Orphanland, does guest vocals on one of the songs. And it's very I hate that terminology, Oriental metal. It's not. I hate that term.
Right, yeah.
It's just that the spirit of that, you know what I mean? There's got to be a better term for that.
The only reason I give deference to Oriental metal is because Orphanland sort of coined that for themselves.
They did.
And kind of being the pioneers of the genre, you kind of give them the nod. I mean, to me, it's weirder to say Middle Eastern metal because, you know, Aeternum's from Canada, but their cultural roots are from the Middle East. So it's not like the band is based in the Middle East like Orphanland is. But,
right.
Oriental metal is a rough word. I don't know if there's a better... It's a form of folk metal. It's a subgenre of folk metal, I would say.
Folk metal with a lot of, you know, Middle Eastern sounds and Orphanland is a perfect example of it because they're from Israel. And a lot of the songs and sounds, the music that they play reminds me of my childhood because a lot of it has to deal with like ancient, like, you know, worship songs, like Hebrew, like Jewish worship songs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they also pull stuff from other religions too, like different, you know, just different melodies and you know, instruments and just the way the song writing is, it pulls from different elements from, you know, like Muslim and like, you know, Jewish communities and stuff like that. That's what I love about him.
Right. Yeah. Orphanland's such a blend. It's hard to decipher.
Yeah.
Sometimes the musical patterns from one to another.
And it's,
I think they it's intended that way because that's where they live. And Tel Aviv is such a melting pot too.
It really is. And it's so weird when you think about Aeternum and they play that style so well, but then you go back and look at them and you're like, oh, they are from Canada.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I think Ashraf is, I think he's originally from Egypt or, something like that, Tunisia or Egypt or somewhere over there. But he's lived in Canada for a while now. And
Morocco. He's from Morocco.
Morocco. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about, I mean, not to just harp on the whole Oriental metal thing, but the thing that binds them and Mirath, who do progressive powerish metal, and then Orphanland do kind of progressive death metal. Then you have Melakesh, who does like black metal. But the thing that unites them all in that one genre is this sound of these, like, cultural
ancient cultural melodies.
Yeah.
Because listening to these bands reminds me of my childhood. Like I said, I grew up in a Jewish household. We weren't super religious or anything, but I did have to have a bar mitzvah. And I went to Hebrew school every day after school. I went to Sunday school and all that bullshit that you have to go through.
Right.
As soon as my bar mitzvah was over, I was like, yep, done with that shit.
Right.
But you learn a lot of that stuff. And a lot of the melodies and the songs and the music that, you know, I heard all growing up stick with you. And it taps into that area of my brain when I hear bands like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I liked them so much.
Yeah, and also, I mean, just all those melodies they play with, it allows for their, like in the tournament's case, them to be really creative with death metal.
Yeah.
And do different things with it songwriting-wise that you wouldn't get to experience otherwise, you know?
I agree. I really enjoy this album. Like you said, it might not be their best, but it's pretty high up there so far. I've gone back to it multiple, many, 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 many times.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign right there. I haven't really been thinking about my top albums because it's past couple weeks. I haven't been in that mindset. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. I haven't even thought of that. Yeah. I haven't even given thought to that since the last time we recorded, actually.
Yeah.
That's going to be a strange one to think about later on.
I know. I was thinking about that myself too. It's like, I haven't even really been catching up with every release. I try to, but I don't know. I just haven't been doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been difficult.
Yeah.
So, I haven't heard this new album. There's something that you brought to the table tonight, the new Heaven Shall Burn.
Yeah. I mean, it's their first album in a few years.
It's a double album too, right?
It is a, I think it is a double album. Yeah. But it's definitely their most varied album. I'll say that. And Heaven Shall Burn, they're a band that I wouldn't call myself a big fan of them, yeah. But I did like those like albums they had, I think the mid-2000s, and just kind of got into them through watching them at Wacken, like videos at Wacken.
They love doing covers too.
Yeah. And they're so fun to watch. And it's just like,
they did Blind Guardian, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And
Valhalla, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, they did Valhalla, and I think they played it live at one of the festivals, too.
On this new album, looks like they did a Nuclear Assault cover, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Critical Mass.
Yeah, it's just good mellow death. It has a little bit of a metalcore tinge to it, but I can kind of overlook it. And
that's always why I sort of never really got into these guys a lot, because the first, maybe some of their earlier stuff had more metalcore influences in them. I'm going to need to give this album a full listen to, and
they've definitely gotten heavier. They've gotten more technical and definitely more heavy at least for the last two albums. So
while we're talking about them, I just wanted to segue real quick. I read an article today that we shared, I think on Metal Geeks or MSRcast. I can't remember that the band Revocation just donated like 4,500 surgical masks to different hospitals and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I read that article, too.
I was like, that is so cool.
That's cool, so, yeah.
Good on them. Good on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that there's another band trying to do, like, a fundraising thing, too. I have to remember who it was. It was on Metal Sucks. Let me see if I can go back and find it.
Don't visit them, man. Come on. Don't give them the clicks.
No, I can't find it. Never mind.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Out of mine. So the song is called what?
Protector. And
perfect song for right now.
Yeah. No, it's a great song. It has a nice little lift, like a power metal lift in the chorus.
Really?
Which I like. Also, the album debuted at number one in Germany. So that's how big these guys are, you know, so.
That's pretty cool. They are. Yeah. Where are they from? They are from
Germany.
They are German.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. All right. So let's check out something from the brand new Heaven Shall Burn album. The album is called Of Truth and Sacrifice, and this is Protector. We'll be right back.
I am your shield and song. I'm chosen to protect and defend. Right burning skies, cursed thy words. But after all, I sin alone if I can find them.
I'm Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. And that was Touch the Dark by Kill Ritual.
Yeah.
This is I am not aware of.
I didn't hear about them until recently. There was one of those bands that I discovered through Spotify. Really cool, I would say like late 90s, early 2000s style thrash. Progressive thrash, you know what I mean?
I
didn't know much about them. They are from California, San Jose, California. And this is their fifth full-length album, man. That song we heard was called Touch the Dark. It's just such a I like the guy's vocals. I like the old-school style prog thrash. I have no, like, avant-garde thrash, you know? This terminology, I don't know how to pinpoint, but it's not typical, and it stands out to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like these guys. I think they need a little bit, you know, a little push, so that's why I wanted to play them tonight, is put a little thrash into the episode.
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
Yeah, definitely. I liked it. It was aggressive, and
the guy's vocals are a little different.
Yeah, very different. Yeah, it was cool.
Go ahead.
I really liked the Igor song.
I've heard about this band for a long time. And speaking about being avant-garde, this band takes the cake. This is like combining like maybe Mr. Bungle with like super heavy.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Because I was the entire time I was just thinking, this is like Mike Patton meets extreme metal.
Yes.
You know, like weirdness.
I mean, Mr. Bungle did have some extreme elements to it in a way with heavy guitars and stuff like that. But this band is like mixing like Sepultura with like Mr. Bungle or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In this album, it's just all over the place. It's so different. It was very enjoyable to listen to. I didn't think I was going to like it, but it was so different and so unique that it really stuck out in my mind. I was like, I really enjoy this awkwardness and the avant-garde-ness and just not being afraid to try weird shit in your music. I really like that.
Yeah, and still have it be entertaining and not just like a mess, you know?
Yes, that's the important thing. You can just throw a bunch of things at a wall and see what sticks, but these guys actually crafted songs out of it somehow, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But which is definitely hard to do. I mean, there's like choir nun singing in this song. And
right, yeah.
It's just all over the place, but it's really good. I definitely recommend checking out this Igor album, Igor, however you want to say it. It's pretty catchy.
Yeah.
In a weird way, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah. And before that, we had...
Heaven Shall Burn.
That's right.
New album, first album in 4 years.
Has it been that long?
Fun. Yeah, it was like, 4 years. Yeah, it's good. Good Melodeath, you know. Nothing's going to reinvent the wheel, but it's kind of what you want in a Heaven Shall Burn record.
Sure. So what have you been up to recently? I know we've talked about – in the last episode we talked a lot about stuff, but have you been watching anything or reading anything? What have you been doing to keep yourself occupied right now?
The one thing I will recommend that I watched recently just on a whim was on Netflix. There's a – the guy who played Doctor Who?
Don't say Tiger King.
No, I am not going to watch that.
Yeah, me either.
David Tennant.
Yeah,
played a detective in the show called Broadchurch.
My wife watched all that. Yeah,
that is so good. It was so dark and sad.
It's about murder, like murder of like a young girl or something like that.
Yeah, it takes place in this one town, and it follows the. It's basically about the murder of this one kid and all the stuff that unfolds around it. But he's so good. He's such a great actor, and I got sucked into that show. And yeah, it's kind of dark topic, but it does kind of distract you sure. from other stuff. You get sucked into the universe of that show.
I watched the first season of Kidding with Jim Carrey. That show was dark. Have you seen that?
No, I heard about it though.
Oh, it's really dark. It's good though. It's almost like he's like playing like a Mr. Rogers type of character, but there's some darkness in this show. So I was like, I got to watch something that's not so dark. So I started watching this show on Netflix called Medical Police.
Huh.
Have you heard of this?
I see it pop up in my recommendations.
Do you ever watch Children's Hospital?
Yes.
It's done by the same people that did Children's Hospital. And it's very on the point right now. It came out in January. But the whole purpose of this season is the show is they're trying to find this virus to cure it. I was like, oh, this is very on the nose right now.
Right, yeah.
What have I been watching? I've watched I can't think of the name of it. It's we've been watching – me and my wife started watching Community from – they just put it on Netflix. We used to love the show. We watched it every week, but we started binge-watching it every night. So we're like on the second season now.
I need to give it a shot.
Have you never watched Community?
I've watched the first couple episodes of season one and I couldn't get into it, so maybe I just have to power through those and I'll get hooked into it.
I think you might be right. The first couple episodes were very different. Towards the end of the first season is when they really started finding their niche and starting to be more meta and there's just some very interesting episodes in this show. I really like it.
Okay, yeah.
I've also been rewatching The Good Place. That just makes me happy. I was like, I just want to watch something that's happy. And I'm struggling through the last season of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, okay. My comfort watch right now has been to rewatch Parks and Recreation.
That's a good one. There's this, I'm trying to remember this show that, of course I finished BoJack Horseman. There is this, I can't find it now. Like, how come I watched it on Netflix? How come it's not pulling up what I just watched?
Right.
It was this comedy Viking show, and there's two seasons, and there's like six episodes each. But it's so funny and just irreverent, but it's brutal at the same time. But the characters are really funny. It's they go off and they're like, they go off and rape and pillage and come back. And there's just some really funny, everybody in it's great. It's all in English. It's not dubbed, but they're all like Norwegian actors. And it's just so funny. I'm going to have to try to pull up what the name of it was because it's not pulling up on my watch, my history.
Yeah. I'd be interested in hearing that or watching that.
All right, so while I look that up, let's talk about our next band.
Oh, yeah, Huntsman.
Huntsman, yes. This is the band that I talked about and played on the show a couple years ago. They're described as sort of Americana metal. So
that's right, yeah. I went to their band camp earlier today. I was looking at that.
The song that I picked is the first song on the album called Ride Out. This is fucking Yes reincarnated as a metal band. Have you heard it earlier, right?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
The melodies and the songwriting of this song, it just gives me Yes moments like so much. It's a really good album. It's varied, way more varied than the last album they did, which was very rooted in bluegrass Americana style mixed with metal. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
This is way more varied, and I think taking them to the next right level. So check out Huntsman. The song that we're going to play is called Ride Out, and this is from the album called Mandala. How do you say that?
Mandala.
Mandala of Fear. There you go. Check it out. We'll be right back. welcome back, my friends, to the show. Let's take a look at our set list we just had. We ended that last set with a band called Dynasty. Have you heard of this band before?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They've been around for a little while.
With Nils from Amaranth.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's doing double duty.
Wow, okay.
At least as far as I last checked.
All right. You might be right.
Yeah. We played their last album on the show 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever.
I remember that. I really enjoy these guys. It's, very catchy choruses, a lot of 80s synth stuff in there. Speaking of 80s synths, check out our next episode because we're planning something pretty epic. Talking about keyboard heavy, synth driven metal music, even going back all the way to the original bands. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so big, we have to bring a special guest in for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Niels, I'm going to call him Niles from Frasier.
Nils Mullen, yeah. He replaced Jake in Amaranth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but Dynasty's good. I mean, they're just, kind of like a modern power metal meets sort of a Bon Jovian melodic bent to it,
I wouldn't say Bon Jovi, but like that 80s, hair metal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say Bon Jovi.
An AOR sheen to their power metal, yeah.
Yes, for sure. This one's a little bit darker and heavier, though, in places.
It is, yeah.
But I like it. I mean, I need to go back and listen to some of their older music, too. It's something really catchy to put on in the background and, just good fucking music, man.
Yeah.
Very cool. What do we have before Dynasty? Or Dynasty?
The new Lucifer album, which... Yes. This band has been weird for me because I've known about them since the debut, and I couldn't get into the debut until the second album came out. Then I went back and kind of appreciated it more. But this album, I think, is my favorite that they've done, and they've only done three records.
One, Lucifer, two, and three.
Well, those are one, two, and three, yeah.
Originally titled.
Very easy naming.
That's right.
This one's really cool because it's very Blue Oyster Cult influenced, I don't know, just the songwriting seemed sharper somehow on this one, and it was instantaneous for me. So when we were talking about, new music for the episode, that was the first thing that came to mind, actually, because it's one of the albums I've been listening to, one of the few new albums I've been listening to lately, apart from all the old stuff I've been listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. And what's her name? The singer, Joanna Sedonis. Mm-hmm. I think she's got a great voice. It's this kind of weird, smoky kind of, texture to her voice that I like.
And it features Nick Anderson. He used to be in Entombed.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Helicopters.
Yeah. It's a great band.
Yeah. I mean, they played here not too long ago, maybe in January, February-ish.
Yeah.
At the Secret Group. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that.
And should have gone to it.
I know. Yeah. I'm regretting it now.
I know. Well, we didn't know where it was going to be, this whole thing going on where you don't get to see shows for a while. But yeah, I totally agree. This is, if you like your sort of like a retro lo-fi occultish doom rock, you know what I mean? I think, these guys are really taking it to on the forefront of this movement.
Yeah.
This is their third album in... past 5 years, I guess it's not that bad.
Yeah
Check them out. This is aptly titled Lucifer 3.
Yeah.
And before that, I can hear you typing away when you make changes.
The Huntsman.
Yeah. We had Huntsman. This is the only song on the album that really sounds so much like Yes. Like I said before, it's very, very varied. It's a great album. I like it way more than the first album. The first album felt very pigeonholed into a certain style they were trying to do. And this one, they feel like they just opened up and just branched out to all these different genres. You know what I mean?
They weren't so concerned with the Americana thing this time. It seems
there is some on the album.
Yeah,
but it's not in your face, I don't think.
Yeah, it's such a hard thing to do. It's such a weird thing to think about. about incorporating the metal, because who was the band who tried to do it last year? Panopticon, I want to say.
Oh, right.
Where he had to kind of divide the album into two discs, and it worked. I enjoyed it, but it didn't mesh. And it's a hard thing to mesh Americana and metal, but you have to give him credit for trying something like that, you know?
So as we were talking before in the last break, the show that I was talking about on Netflix, it's called Norsemen.
Mm.
Please check it out. I think it's fucking hilarious. It's very, if you like Monty Python, that type of humor, it's very in that vein. They call it a sitcom, but it's not really a sitcom. It's what I love about it. It's beautifully shot. Like,
yeah,
the landscapes and just everything about the show. It's amazingly beautiful, but then there's like dick and fart jokes.
Right.
It's just so funny. I definitely recommend it.
My list.
Yeah. And it's such a, the short, like 20-ish minutes. And it's two seasons, but like six episodes a season. So you could go through it in one day if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
It's really good. Let's talk
Marco Polo is a good one on Netflix, too. I remember that from a few years ago.
I was really
into that show. Yeah, it was like two seasons. I think all these Netflix shows are only two seasons.
It feels like they don't support a lot of their shows that well, which sucks. But let's talk about our next band.
Yes.
Their last album, it came out in 2017, was one of my top albums of the year.
Yeah,
and
mine too.
And I know we influenced a lot of new fans for this band. That was told personally by multiple people that we helped this people discover this band. And we're talking about the band Sorcerer. Epic fucking doom metal. They have a new album coming out. When does it come out?
Late May.
Yeah, late May, called Lamenting of the Innocent. And they released a preview song that was, I think, so good we had to play it. Called The Hammer of the Witches. Hammer of Witches. Holy crap, dude. This song is Candlemass Black Sabbath worship right here.
Yeah.
It's so good. I cannot wait for this album. This is one of my top albums that I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah, mine too. And I love Christian Neiman, who's on guitars. I think I mentioned this before, but he used to be in Therion for...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Almost a decade he was in Therion. He did great work in Therion. So looking forward to anything with him, with his guitars on it. So
he jams with Snowy Shaw right now.
Yeah.
However good or bad that is.
Right, yeah.
I forgot that he was in Therion. Yeah. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you like epic doom metal, please check out the new Sorcerer. The album comes out on Metal Blade Records at the end of May, May 29th, to be exact. This is The Hammer of Witches off the upcoming Lamenting of the Innocent. I sounded so professional there. I should not do that.
Yeah.
All right, guys, check it out. We'll be right back.
Far and beyond from the no man's land. Snipers are moving unseen. Fight for land to lose it again. Shrapnel is filling the air. Hell on earth, the trenches mean death. Better keep your head down low. Charge the lines, the ultimate test. It's a synchronized sacrifice. Get the wounded of the dark. Live alone in no man's land. Many chaos at the front.
Welcome back to MSR Cast 236. And you were just listening to, obviously, Testament.
Obviously. The New Testament. Not that Old Testament.
Creation, the new album.
Not that Old Testament Deceiver. Shit.
Not that Old Testament shit.
New
no.
Testament.
So you were saying in the last episode that you you like the album, but you're not wild on it right now.
I've listened to it about three times straight through. It's a fucking Testament album to the nth degree. It's phenomenal. Gene Hoglan is a fucking beast on this album. He does some really cool experimental drum things. He's all over the place. My only concern with the album, some of the lyrics are sort of cheesy.
Okay.
I don't know. Chuck Billy is fucking great. He does some different things. He brings back some of his heavier, harsher stuff on this album. There's this one song that's sort of almost radio friendly in a way called The Healers, and he does some weird vocal style on that song, but I don't know, this is some of the lyrics are weird, not okay. Great, but it doesn't really deter from the overall greatness of the album, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's definitely a top tier Testament album, but it's not my favorite so far. I definitely will give it more spins, of course, but
you would put it, that it might require more time, babe.
Yeah.
But so it's definitely not as straightforward, aggressive as Dark Roots of the Earth.
Parts of it are maybe, but no, not really. There are elements, but I'm not faulting anybody for trying anything new. I mean, I love when bands do that. It's just, I don't know. It's definitely a Testament album. It's fucking dual guitar attacks everywhere and shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody is on their A game, but there's just something about it.
I like this song a lot, but I haven't heard the album yet, so I need to listen to that.
Is this the first song you heard off the album?
Yeah, this is the only song I've heard off the album.
This is a song that sticks with me after multiple listens. It's really catchy. There's a lot of catchy stuff on this album. Children of the Next Level is really good, which is about, I think the storyline is about, what was that cult where they were supposed to go like alien cult or something like that.
Oh yeah. They commit suicide or something like that.
Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah. That's what that song's about.
I will say, I really, for the cover art, I like the concept of the cover art. I just kind of wish it was done by a different painter or a different artist.
What's that?
That's kind of weird. Like the concept of the art is so cool. But
okay.
I just don't like the art style. I don't know. That's like a weird nitpick for me.
It's that movie poster color scheme, that orange and blue. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Every movie poster uses that shit. It's supposed to be very – it's like the cover for like Clash of the Titans or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I mean, it works for what they were doing, but I don't know. Like I said, don't get me wrong. I really do enjoy the New Testament album.
Right.
But is it in my top 10 of this year? Maybe not.
Okay.
So far.
Yeah.
But I will definitely give it more spins. Let's let our audience give us their ideas about it. So.
Yeah.
I need your opinion, really. Go check it out tomorrow. Get some brutality in you. Get away from all this power, positive power metal that is flowing through your veins. Get some brutality in you. Because the new Wolfheart comes out tomorrow too. So
Yeah. And we also got Sabaton and Apocalyptica sandwich in there.
We do. That's a good sandwich, right?
Yeah.
I like this song a lot. I don't know where it came from or what the reasoning for doing it, but
I have no idea. It sounds like a Sabaton song. I mean, it's something they cooked up, and
it is a Sabaton song. It's just with Apocalypta playing,
yeah,
you know, cellos in the background, basically.
Yeah, basically.
But there's all it is. Like in the middle part, there's this part where it sort of segues more into the celloistic portion of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Celloistic. I think I just made that word up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool collaboration. It is. It's one of those things where you're just sort of like, huh, that's a strange thing to release right now after you've just released the album, you know?
And if you look at the cover, it's a digital only. It's nothing but blue and orange. There's something going on with this blue and orange thing.
Yeah, again with the blue and the orange. Yeah.
I guess it's the thing to do now. You know, movie posters use it. Metal bands are using it now. It's just
were they touring together? Was that what it was? Because I know that
I don't think so.
Amaranth did a cover of 82nd All the Way,
which I don't hate that either. I don't hate the cover.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not an Amaranth fan. You know that.
Yeah, Sabaton's done some weird, because they did Bismarck, was the like a solo release single before the album came out. Had nothing to do with the Great War album,
right?
They've been doing a lot of weird things like that lately, but that's cool, you know.
I thought you were going to say Bismarcky, but
no.
I was like, Sabaton covered Bismarcky. I've got to hear that.
Stop the show. We're going to go find that now.
All right. Yeah. So we heard Sorcerer, Sabaton, and Testament. What's next?
What we got? Shadowkeep, Guardian of the Sea.
This is an album that sort of like missed my radar. I mean, I knew about it. I listened to it a little bit, but it wasn't in a heavy rotation. Yeah, it came out in 2018, and this features James Rivera on vocals.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I was listening to this earlier, and I was thinking, like, man, that guy sounds familiar. So that's who it is.
If it sounds like James Rivera, it's probably James Rivera.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Local Houston metal hero, lead singer from Hellstar, phenomenal vocalist. This is a band, I believe they're from, they're English. They're a UK band, and James is just brought on to sing for him on this album. But yeah, it's a killer album. And the song we're going to play is called Guardian of the Sea, and it's from the self-titled Shadowkeep album. You ready to get your ears blown out with some high vocals? Check it out. Here's Shadowkeep. We'll be right back.
As daylight dies up in the sky, uneasy increases in my mind. The specter of that fateful night comes creeping till it's plain in sight. Intangible as if a dream. Yeah. We'll be right back.
we're back to the show. Thanks for tuning in again to episode number 236 of MSRcast. And that's a band we just finished listening to, is a band called Wrathchild America. One very underrated band, in my opinion. One of my favorite bands from the late 80s or early 90s. They only put out two albums.
Yeah, it's one of these bands where I've heard the name before, but I've never really investigated.
You never heard them before tonight, or?
Yeah, no, this is the first time I've listened to them.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe I thought they were some sort of Paul Di'Anno project or something like that.
Well, that's why they changed their name to America, I think, because of Wrathchild.
Right.
But they, at one point after they were Wrathchild America, do you remember the band Souls at Zero?
No.
They changed their name and became Souls at Zero for a while. And they did maybe one or two albums, maybe two albums at that name. But they haven't done anything for a long time. The drummer of this band is a guy named Shannon Larkin. You remember him?
That name sounds very familiar.
Unfortunately, he now plays in a band called Godsmack.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's also an Ugly Kid Joe. He was in Candlemass for a long time. Souls of Zero, Snot. I don't know why he got in all these metalcore bands, but...
Was he a founding member in Godsmack, like an OG member?
No, I don't think so. Okay. He was a founding member of Wrathchild America.
Okay.
So, they're the epitome of what I think of late 80s progressive thrash, where they throw all these different elements into it. The first two, the two albums, Climbing the Walls and 3D, are pinnacles of that era to me. They're... Wrathchild America is one of my favorite bands. They're so underrated. I don't think a lot of people even know about them. They talk about them. They did tour a little bit during that, you know, that early time. I never got to see them live. Wish I had, but yeah, this is a definitely underrated band for me. And I try to promote them as much as I can on this show. But it's been a while since I played them, so I wanted to pop something in here that was sort of old school.
Right.
Mixing with all this new stuff. So, yeah, please go check out Wrathchild America. They do on this album a cover of Time from Pink Floyd that is phenomenal.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool cover of that. Yeah, just go check them out. That's all I got to say about it.
You know what? I speaking of Pink Floyd real quick, I wish that Annika would record a studio version of her cover of Wish You Were Here.
Yeah?
I know
you can cry.
YouTube stuff, but I want a studio version of that from her.
So you can pop it on and cry whenever you feel like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. All right. So
before that?
Before that was Noveria. Noveria, yeah. This is a band... They put an album out in 2019, and it didn't pop onto my radar until like earlier in this year. They're progressive power metal, very much akin to Eldritch. The vocalist totally reminds me of the guy from Eldritch.
Yeah, I could hear that.
Yeah. It's really cool stuff. This album is called Equilibrium. It's hard to say. Not Equilibrium, but it has an A in front of it. Equilibrium.
Right.
The song we picked was called The Nightmare. I think it's one of the catchier songs on the album. It's a really cool song. Yeah, but if you like progressive power metal, along the lines of, you know, like I said, Eldritch, if you told me this was a new Eldritch album, I probably would have believed you.
Yeah. I can definitely hear the Eldritch thing. It's weird, though, because they're from Italy. They don't sound like they're from... They'd be from Italy. It's a weird head thing there.
That's true, right? I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Not to say that Italy has like a defined sound. It is getting more diverse over there, but there is definitely unique characteristic.
It's not all symphonic power metal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a band called Noveria. I don't. They're on Scarlet Records. So yeah, check these guys out too, please. I like their the album cover is Travis Smith, of course.
Yeah. It's a cool cover.
They're very power metal-y, more in the line of like, I want to say like Symphony X type of power metal, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That really aggressive, fast power metal style.
Yeah.
But it's very proggy, progressive too. So yeah, check them out. I think you might enjoy them. Check out the full album. I think you would enjoy them, Sean.
Okay.
And before that was Shadowkeep, which is a UK band that features local Houston guy, James Rivera from Hellstar on vocals. Pretty cool.
Yep.
So what's coming out soon? Anything you're looking forward to? We already talked about the new Sorcerer album, but.
Yeah. In about an hour, the new Nightwish album will be out on Spotify.
That's right.
So I'll be listening to that. That, and then, you know, the new Wolfheart album. Really that Sorcerer album is the one I keep thinking about now. But the Nightwish album, I'll spend a lot of time on it because got nothing else to do. So,
yeah, we'll check that out tomorrow as well. That and the new Wolfheart, man. I'm so looking forward to that.
The Nightwish thing is a double freaking disc, and that second disc is like 87 minutes or something ridiculous like that. Man. So, it's a lot of stuff to get through.
Very cool. I know we were working on some upcoming episodes. We're working, of course, we talked about our epic 3-part tribute or whatever it's going to be to symphonic synth and keyboard driven metal.
Yeah.
We are going to do our positive power metal episode.
Yep.
As we're recording these episodes, if you guys have any request of anything you want us to do, we're looking for it right now. We want to please you guys. So msrcast@gmail.com or reach out to us on all our social medias. Let us know what you want us to do. If you want us to do a specialty episode about something or pick maybe a year and just cover that year in metal, that'd be cool too.
Yeah.
Let's do like 1989.
We always talk about doing like, something like 1989 or 1990.
Yeah.
91 or something. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Let's do that next. Let's think about that. Let's start planning those out.
1990 would be a good one to start with, I think. Yeah.
All right. That's how many years ago was that? I don't even want to think about how many years ago that is now.
That is 30.
Yes.
Yeah.
God damn it. Like we talked about earlier, we talked about 1990, I think, in our last episode about some of my favorite albums came out that year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was my sophomore year of high school.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff on cassette.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah. All right, let's do that. Let's do 1990.
Yeah.
But if you guys have any other suggestions for upcoming episodes, let us hear it. And on that note, I think we have one more song to play before we leave. But let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Of course, if you need to get a hold of us for anything, you can email us at msrcast@gmail.com. You can find us on all the social medias at MSRcast as well as at Metal Geeks. You can find my illustrious co-host here as well on social media at, is it The Metal Pigeon?
The Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
There you go.
And themetalpigeon.com.
Of course, we're also on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, and any podcast app or place where you can download your favorite podcast. We will be there for you. Get you through all this, man.
Yep.
Keeping you safe with metal.
Keeping you safe.
Let's talk about the last band of the evening.
Well, yeah, the new Mercury album came out 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
It's very different.
I mean, but you know, it's interesting because it's kind of where I wanted her to go, like, to begin with. Like, I mean, that first album she came out with, it was like very overish. And then the next album I thought was really good, made my top 10 list that year.
No, I remember that.
It was like a good blend of the black metal and the more folky stuff she wants to do. And this one, she just kind of went full folk.
Yeah.
But it's a dark kind of rustic folk, and it's very woodsy and mm-hmm. very – if you're into metal, you would find things to connect with through this album. And if you like Lorena McKennitt, you'll definitely be into this because I see a lot of influence from Lorena McKennitt directly. Mm. And then some parts just sound like Dark Enya, you know? So
Dark Enya.
It's really cool. It's a good mix, and it's like something you can listen to chill down and you know.
I haven't heard the full album yet, too. I'm going to check it out.
It's a very serene album, I think, for me at least. So, yeah.
We need that right now.
We do, yeah.
All right, well, let's let everybody go. This is the brand new Mirakur. Mirakur. I always have a hard time saying that.
Yeah, I don't think we're saying it right. Mirakur.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for tuning in. We want everybody out there to stay safe, wash your hands. Just don't go anywhere if you don't have to. Just stay home and listen to metal. Be safe. Watch Netflix a shit ton and play some video games. That's what I'm doing.
Yep.
Yeah, and as always, we have one last thing we have to say.
Keep it metal.
That's right. Keep it metal.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.